Welcome back to the Unending Tea Beer Podcast. It's your host, Nicole. I hope that this Christmas season finds you enjoying this time, and I have a very special few guests for you as we talk about a very special type of Christmas book. Thank you for joining.
So I am here very excited this week to talk with the ladies from the Elite Guardian Sirens of Sunrise. Thank you for joining me. Will you please introduce yourselves?
Hey, I'm Kate Angelo, and I had the first book that came out, Driving Force, in the Elite Guardians series. And I also have the first story in the new Christmas in the Crosshairs novella anthology collection.
Okay.
And I guess I'll go next. I'm Kelly Underwood, and my book is second in the novella collection. And if you are familiar with Defending Honor, that was my first Elite Guardian novel. I am from Orlando, Florida.
I'm Sammy Abrams, and I wrote Impending Strike, which was book two in the original Elite Guardian collection. And I wrote the third novella and the Christmas in the Crosshairs collection.
So we're talking about a suspense novella collection for Christmas. So I have to ask this question. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Sammy's like, yes, it is.
Without a doubt, it's a Christmas movie.
I know that it's pretty much the only Christmas movie guys really want to watch at Christmas time, but I never really thought of it as a Christmas movie until people just started saying it was. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Christmas movie.
Okay. That totally makes sense with the genre and what we are talking about. That's actually the answer I expected. So what led to the decision? How did you guys come up with the idea to do a Christmas novella collection for this Elite Guardian series?
I think it was like, we really wanted to write another book, but we were all feeling very like brain fogged from writing a whole book. So we're like, let's write like a novella sized book. Is that how it happened? I can't remember. I think that was right, but maybe not.
Yeah, I think it was trying to get another Elite Guardian story out there before the next full-length book comes out.
Mm. Well, and I think it was kind of cool, too, to, you know, catch up on characters we had just written about as well. So to kind of extend their story a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You know what it really was? Do you guys remember this? It was Kelly's epilogue, or your original epilogue that... Yes. That Sunrise was like, oh, that would be a great novella kind of thing. Right. And then it didn't really end up that way, I don't think. But that, I think that's what kicked it off, right?
I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. Because because we didn't know if there was going to be another one in the epilogue, I kind of had a reunion of all of the old and the new Guardians. And so, yeah, I think that kind of kicked off the idea of, maybe there should be more.
Yeah. So then it was, I kind of ended Driving Force a little more classically, but then Sammy and Kelly kind of changed their endings so that we could write the novellas so that the readers could see a little bit more and see them working together more like in a relationship.
Yeah, I like that. So what kind of circumstances have you guys plunged your characters into? Like where are we going to find these characters created?
Death and destruction. I mean, no, sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Kate.
Yeah, death and destruction, mayhem, things like that. So my novella in this anthology takes place in a church. And it was really because I was at this huge, like, mega church, and we were at an event. And I noticed the guy standing in front of me, who was actually older, like he was much older. And he had like the little earpiece in his ear. And yep. I don't know if he was an usher or if he was security, but I was like, okay, what is this guy gonna do if like for some reason like the door is shut and we were all trapped in here and, you know, And we had, you know, and this all stuff was happening to us. And that's kind of where I got my idea from. And so that's pretty much what happens in this book.
So you got your inspiration from church. That is
It's perfectly normal for us suspense authors to be thinking about death and mayhem around every corner. Believe me. Even in church.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Well, I guess so, because mine involves a plane crash in the mountains. So it's more stranding your characters.
And for mine, the third one, Susie had asked us to culminate the whole thing with Lizzie and Charlie's wedding. So I knew I was doing a wedding, but I was trying to figure out kind of, you know, what would be something besides having all the guests there and, you know, kind of mimicking Kate's where everything gets shot up. So it was, for mine, it was a snowstorm and a special guest appearance with Charlie's ex comes into play. And then, of course, there's shooting and fires and everything else involved.
With the normal suspense stuff, there's also
shows up. Yes.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I'll just say that mine's the one that you're not cold reading. I'm like, I don't want to be outside. I hate the winter. I'm already complaining that it's cold and it's, you know, still, it's only dipping down to 79 here. And I didn't want to do mine outside in the snow.
You didn't want to have to deal with frostbite.
Right. So true. Oh, and I guess we should say for any listeners who don't know, Susie is Susan May Warren, the editorial director of Sunrise Publishing, who published these books and helped us to edit them after we went through the process with Lynette Eason.
Yeah. And this is, and I guess we should also mention that Lynette Eason created this Elite Guardian series of like women who are in like personal security bodyguard positions, you know, and so these are the, yeah. Do you feel like these would be standalone or do they really need to read the first books?
I think that they're standalone. I think that you might, like, there's hints at things that you probably wouldn't fully understand, but, you know, I don't know. I'm a rebel. I read out of order. So I think you could totally read them and, you know, and then go back and read the others if you like the characters and you like the style and everything. I'm cool with that. I know that would drive Kelly crazy.
So I was about to say, I probably would say the opposite, but I think you can read it as a standalone. You're not going to know the characters as well. And in a novella, there's not a lot of time. So we kind of just jump right into it. And, you know, it is a little more relationship driven in this novella series as well. So, I mean, it wouldn't hurt to read the first part of the series, but I'm sure you can enjoy it all either way.
Yeah, I agree. They could be read as standalones. I think you get more personal into the characters if you've read the others first, but it could be read as a standalone.
That's good to know. So you hinted something, Kelly, about, the relationship. These are a little bit more. So how are we going to see these relationships challenge that you've already kind of, they've already had a little bit of a development in their book? How did you challenge them and test them in these novellas to still, you know, draw us deeper?
Well, anytime there's danger and you kind of throw people together, relationships are challenged. And I think for Preston and Layla, because, you know, Defending Honor ended and the novella's kind of picking up shortly after, there hasn't been a whole lot of time span. So, you know, they're still on the cusp of, are we going to make it? So now we're, you know, fighting for survival in the wilderness and, you know, let's them spend all kinds of quality time together discussing their relationship and trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
This is why I'm not a survivalist. So I had, that was the biggest struggle for me, Nicole, is because I felt like I had made like such a great couple by the end of Driving Force that throwing them into something, I was like, what am I going to do to, I don't want to like test them too much. And so the main character is his name is Gray, and he is in a wheelchair, unable to walk. And so he has limited muscle control in his legs. And so he can stand, but he, you know, doesn't know if he would be able to, how long or whatever. So he's in a wheelchair. And so that always creates a lot of interesting ways of trying to do suspense. And I always try to honor that as a person, you know, that he's a person and he just happens to be in a wheelchair. And so, so I tried to focus more on just like a misunderstanding that they were having about why they weren't getting married, because, driving force was more about him wanting to have an experimental surgery so that he could walk. And so far the surgery hasn't worked and he can't walk. And so neither one of them set a date, because she thought it was for one reason and he thought it was for a different reason. So we kind of test that a little bit. But for the most part, they like really team up and work together.
That's good. I remember when you were talking, I can't remember if it was during our recording or if it was after the recording, but how you mentioned about your setting and then those challenges. I remember that. And I like it that, you know, these novellas, it gives us little glimpses, because sometimes with romantic suspense, you know, you get to the end and so much has happened and there's so much like fast paced stuff that you're like, oh, I'd like to know what happened to them next. So it's like, it's cool that these are the little pieces that gets it a little bit further.
Yeah. And I would say that with Sammy's just throwing in an ex-girlfriend, I mean, that's pretty good.
Cool. Yeah. Poor Charlie has to confront his ex. But, you know, it's like they're in the middle of this snowstorm in Montana, expecting all their friends and family to come to their wedding. And now nobody can get through. His ex shows up. Somebody starts shooting at them. So, you know, Lizzie's big thing was that she would never have her dream of, you know, being able to keep somebody she loved. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she's going back into that. Is this, you know, is God going to take this away from me, you know, type thing. And of course, like I said, Charlie happened to deal with all the emotions from his ex being there. So.
Yeah. Testing the lessons that they were, you know, to learn in their life. It's probably realistic because we don't always get it. You know, once we get it, it's like, oh yeah, we get it. And it's not like we never struggle with that again. So that's really.
Cool. Yeah. That's really interesting that you say that, Nicole, because that was a discussion that we had, like, we were talking with Sammy about that, like, you know, yeah, you can dive back into those same insecurities because, you know, whenever you have this lie that you've believed for so long, yeah. Even when whenever you see the truth, you sometimes like want to slip back into that whenever doubt arises. So yeah, we kind of had a discussion about, you know, how do we test somebody like that going into a wedding and not want to ruin the wedding, you know?
Yeah. Not wreck it up too much.
Yeah.
So how was it when you look back at it, how you plotted out three novels together and how they, you know, intertwined with all these characters. How different was that from the three novellas?
I would say the three novellas were harder because we had to make sure everything kind of meshed together. For this novella collection, the only goal was that they get to Montana to the wedding.
Oh, so this happens all at the same Christmas.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, oh. For example, like a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So needless to say, some of them show up injured to the wedding, right?
Yes.
Yep.
But in some respects, it's a little, I don't want to say easier, but it's already characters I know. You know, yeah. Because we just got off writing this one story and then we're kind of taken to the next level. I mean, and then there's some overthinking, of course, you know, that goes on because I'm like, you know, having to kind of think about every move. And, you know, I hadn't really thought past Defending Honor. So now I'm like, what are we doing? Where are we going? But just knowing those characters, it's a little bit easier to jump into it.
I can see that. Yeah. No, yeah. That was going to be another one of my questions is like, how is this like different Christmases, but that it's all one week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it starts with mine. And then, and that's kind of why we went out of order. Because we were like, we need to end at this wedding. And so, you know, so then I had mine, like, you know, a couple of days before Christmas, like the weekend before Christmas, and then Kelly's kind of like in between there. And then Sammy's is like the Christmas Eve weekend-ish situation.
That's cool. That's a really, that's gotta be tight. Yeah. I can see how that would be. You have to keep everything pretty lined up. Was that easier with the novella because it was shorter, or does it like, does making every word count in a novella? Is that almost harder?
I like writing the novellas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really fun. Like it was very, yeah, it was just fun and exciting because in each scene that you have, you can, you know that you can just like get straight to the point and nothing has to be overthought. And, you know, there's not a lot of room for long flowery prose, which Kate is known for.
Nah. Really?
Yeah.
Yes. All the suspense authors that have long flowery prose.
Right. It's really just me. I think I'm the only one, or one of the few. No. And we just joke about that because Driving Force was a little thicker than the other two. So.
Yeah. Oh, it was. Oh, I thought that was a joke.
It's probably like, well, what do you guys think? Like 20,000 more, maybe 20,000 more words. So it's probably 100 pages more. Something like that.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So what do you feel was the key to balancing the pacing of the suspense of the story with these emotional journeys that you took the characters on?
I think it's difficult because you have to have this, like the suspense and the plot needs to be driving a novella because it's so much shorter. Like we were talking about, you have to get in there and get stuff done. And so you have, you know, you have internal thoughts and at least in mine, it was even more difficult because I was introducing a third POV and it's Alana who is going to be the main bodyguard in the next Elite Guardians book that we put out. And so, those are still in the works right now, but I wanted to her to have her own voice. And, so I did that in my novella. I have like multiple POVs happening. And so it made it a little more difficult for me to really, you know, to carry suspense and an emotional journey for three characters instead of in a novella size.
So I think mine was a little more simple because I just had the two characters stranded. So they're together, they're stranded. There's not a whole lot of other interference from maybe other characters or, you know, like any other points of view. Of course, there's a bad guy and, you know, they're on the run for their lives. But I think that made it just kind of a little easier to kind of dive into the emotions because it's already a, you know, emotional situation when you're tired and cold and, you know, stranded.
Yeah.
I feel like, kind of like Kelly on that. You know, you're expecting family and friends to show up for a wedding and now you're getting shot at. It seemed like it was really easy to bring that piece in just due to the circumstances of the suspense.
Yeah. We can see that. So, Kate, you talked a little bit about like what inspired the situations that the characters found themselves in.
Yeah, I think I talked about that a little bit with mine and that's kind of even how I pitched it. We talked about is Die Hard a Christmas movie because I kind of pitched it that way to Susie and said, you know, I wanted it to be a diehard in a church kind of situation. And she's like, done. What else are we doing? You know, like she was like, I'm on it, you know, like, and so then I had, so that's why I had to have another POV, because you needed to know what was going on inside the sanctuary. And then you had to have the good guy on the outside of the sanctuary. And so, so that's kind of the way that I did that story. And I really liked it. I really enjoyed doing that because, like I said, it's this fast pace, and the reader's like flipping back and forth in, and it's kind of funny because I like short chapters. And so I think mine has like 17 chapters. Then Kelly and Sammy have like 9 or so, or 7. So that, and it's, I changed pretty much every time there was a different point of view, I changed chapters. So
yeah, so that makes, yeah, that makes sense of why it flipped back.
I don't really know what my inspiration was, because I started off tropical, like we were gonna have, like, you know, I think my first that epilogue we were talking about was like actually like at the beach, and then I wound up in the mountains in a blizzard stranded, so I don't really know where I derailed on that one.
I think that was me that derailed you.
Oh yeah,
it was you.
It was me.
It was Sammy.
It was me. I'm guilty.
We were trying to make it work, but then Christmas needed snow. So yeah.
There was this whole discussion, and I'm just sitting back listening, knowing that the wedding is, you know, my story that I'm supposed to be telling. And I'm sitting back listening to all this stuff coming out about a, you know, Caribbean island and this and that happening. And then I'm like, it's going to be at a ranch in Montana. So at Christmas. So. That really threw everybody off. but no, that was my thing, was it has, and for me, if you're doing a Christmas wedding, it just screams that winter wonderland style. And then as far as the situation of the characters, I just thought, throw Charlie's ex back into the mix. She was such a jerk to him the first time. You know, how would he respond if she just shows up? So that's, you know, that's where that came from.
I think I also remembered Sammy as talking a little bit about like Preston in Kelly's book is a billionaire, and so we were like, maybe we should do like a mountain lodge, and he owns this mountain lodge or something. And then I think that's kind of like in the, when we started going in that direction, you know, like you knew that it was going to be in a mountain lodge anyway in Montana. And so then Kelly's like, well, I guess we'll just be on the way to it and then crash into the mountains.
Yeah. I just threw everybody for a loop on that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You have to know where you're going, right?
Yeah. Where are we going to have this?
So what was each of your favorite part of these stories?
Go ahead, Sammy.
Oh, I was going to say, I just love Lizzie and Charlie's banter and the way they talk to each other, because they're both bodyguards. And so, you know, there's like this big push-pull between them, and then they have almost a sibling type, you know, banter going on, but yet they're a couple. So yeah. I just love the characters and the way they interact together anyway.
It's like they really know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And get their own, like, sense, almost their own language, I feel like. Sometimes it's like, when you say it's like the sibling, it's like, I get it, they're not siblings. Mm-hmm. But it's like siblings or people who are really, really close, they have their own inside jokes and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, see, yeah.
Well, I think for me, I liked the survival aspect of it. I mean, I'm a Florida girl, so like snow is like kind of foreign to me. And I just, you know, well, the thought of being stranded in it, but like, I liked the kind of the role reversal, like, you know, Layla is injured and Preston has to step up and be the one that's like trying to get them out of that mess and, you know, keep them safe. And so I like the flip that he gets to kind of be a little bit, a bit of a bodyguard, maybe.
That's yeah, you're stretching their original roles mm-hmm. and seeing how they work together. That's cool.
So my favorite part of these was actually, I was talking to my husband about, you know, like they had to take out the bad guys and do it kind of in a stealthy way, but we're in a church. So like, what can we possibly do? And so I started talking to him and he always tells me about his sixth grade physical science teacher taught him more than anyone else in the whole wide world. And he also we both love science and we watch Action Lab. And so he helped me to come up with a lot of the things that Gray does in the book. So like to either distract or draw attention or any of those things to like incapacitate without really hurting or injuring or killing or shooting a gun that they would hear. And then, you know, then they would know that they were out there. So I kind of had to come up with some unique, so you'll see some science experiments and that should be fun.
Some MacGyverisms.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome. So, I mean, when people usually think of Christmas books, they're not thinking of romantic suspense. I enjoy that thing. I loved Ronnie Kendig's Lygos. Mm-hmm. I remember reading that and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so fun to have suspense, a Christmas novella. How do you feel that romantic suspense can bring about still great Christmas season entertainment or hopeful messages in its own unique way?
I think, you know, it's like if you, whatever you like to read, mm-hmm. anything can be, a, you know, great Christmas season story and entertainment, and it can have a message. So if it's speculative or suspense or thrillers, you can still have it in there. You know, I'm very much a suspense, romantic suspense reader. So for me, don't start shooting the person talking. I'm not huge into the Hallmark movies because, you know, I need a dead body in there somewhere. So I just think anything you can put a nice message into any type of genre.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you were going to talk about that, Sammy, like the Hallmark movies, I mean, really you could take any one of those and put more suspense into it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for me personally, I think I love that it's that time when people gather more. Like, I don't know about you guys, but the number of Christmas parties or Christmas events or like Christmas pageants and things that we go to where there's more people there and different kinds of people. And then also, you know, strangers who are around that are coming from out of town and, you know, all these different opportunities that comes with the Christmas season. I don't know why we don't even do more of them because there's so many different things that you can do with suspense whenever you have, you know, lots of people and strangers and families. And then there's, you know, emotional dynamics of the holidays and the stress as well. And so, so I think that we should have more. I think it's pretty cool because then you can still bring that, you know, emotional journey and, you know, the love of a family and everything together. And that's kind of what I tried to do is, include that holiday family love thing in there as well.
Well, I mean, if we're going to include the time of, like, if you're thinking about the very origins of Christmas, you're like, well, if you think about it, you know, right after the wise men got there, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus had to hightail it out of there because Jesus was in, you know, Herod was coming after him. So, I mean, the original Christmas had suspense in it.
That's super true. True. And, you know, Christmas in the crosshairs means, you know, hey, we might not make it to Christmas, you know? I mean, it gives you that element of like, you know, there's a goal to get together, to, you know, make it to the wedding or whatever, but you know, just as the title implies, there's going to be challenges along the way.
Yeah. It ups the stakes. So what do you feel is, can you guys say about what's in the future for the Elite Guardians? You guys have hinted that there's going to be another round.
Go for it, Kate.
We're like, oh, can we say anything? So, well, this would be great because we can tell people if you want to know what's coming next, you can come listen to this podcast.
Exactly.
So we are writing three new bodyguards in a whole new location
Okay.
and building it from the ground up. So whereas before we took the characters that Lynette had in her Elite Guardians series in that, and we wrote them into that story world, and we used all of the side characters or some of the side characters that she had already written, like Stephen the detective and some of the other bodyguards. And so we got to pull all of them back in while, taking the three new characters. And so, but this is completely different. We went to Savannah, Georgia. And when you read Christmas in the Crosshairs, you'll get a glimpse at why, because we introduced that. That's why Christina and Greg go to Savannah to be at this church pageant with Christina's former foster sister named Alana. And Alana is has gone to, is going to this church with her son. She's a single mom, and they go to see the son in a Christmas pageant. And so that opens the door for us to bring this new Elite Guardians branch to Savannah, Georgia. And the three of us were so blessed. We got to together and we went to Savannah and explored, and that was so much fun. And we were like, oh, we could kill people here. This will be great. In the best way.
And we did. We truly were thinking this.
Yeah. Walking around the cemetery and things like that. And so we're building. I'll let each of us kind of talk about our bodyguards if you care. So mine is, I just mentioned Alana, and she has a son, and she's new to the area because she kind of grew, she was here for a little while, and then she spent like the majority of her formative years in LA. And so she came back to be closer to Christina, but not so close, and to get her son out of growing up in LA. And so but she finds out there's just as much danger in Savannah. And it was kind of funny because a lot of people were like, you're setting it in Savannah? I don't see any danger in Savannah. We're like, what?
Savannah, Georgia will never be the same again.
Exactly.
Let's see, mine will be the second book. It's slated to be the second book, and mine is Noelle, who's one of the new bodyguards, and she is one of Lizzie's good friends. So it kind of has a tie to Lizzie. And then my hero is actually our medical examiner, Jonah. So I once again I'm having two characters instead of an outside character come in. It's like, really, what did I do again? So yeah, it's like whatevs, whatevs. Now we do have I'm not sure how much Kate and Pally did, but we had discussed it when we were in Savannah. There is a coffee shop called Biddy and Bo's, and the workers ha are Down syndrome kids. So
I've seen that at like a news thing.
yeah, so Biddy and Bo shows up in mine several times. So wanted to do a shout out to Biddy and Bo's in Savannah.
So when I got my edits back, Susie May Warren asked me to stop opening every scene with coffee. She's like, it was, and I realized I was like, oh yeah, I have it like three or four times. So there's definitely coffee. I do go to Biddy and Bo's. So, but my bodyguard is Juliet Montgomery, and she appears briefly in Defending Honor, just kind of as a backup when Preston's in his office. And you'll meet her again in Christmas in the Crosshairs. But she basically moves to Savannah to kind of help start the Elite Guardian's office in Savannah, and her grandmother had passed away and left her a building, so she kind of turns it into the Elite Guardian's office. Like, she lives in the basement area, and then upstairs is the offices, so, you know, she kind of plays a pivotal role in opening that office up.
Yeah, we were walking, we were doing a long walk to Forsyth Park, and Kelly's like, yeah, like, you know, this is what I'm thinking, like, this building right here would be great for, you know, for turning it into that, and she could live down here, and what do you call that, and are people allowed to live down there? And right as we were talking about it, this lady came out, and so we just started talking to her, and like, she stood there for 10 minutes and told us like her whole life story, pretty much, about how her and her husband had they'd lived there, and then they got divorced, so she moved into the basement level that's like just below the street, and then he had the upper level, and, you know, told us this whole thing. So we got the architecture we were looking for with also the drama of the story along the way.
Well, because people like to tell their life story to Kate, no matter where you are. Kate gets like the full story from total strangers.
Yeah. So I had a line in mind that they were going to go to Biddy and Bo's, but they never quite make it there. So that's pretty much my tie into that. We all really enjoyed going there, and just having a wonderful coffee experience there as well. Kelly and I drank a lot of coffee in Savannah when we were there. So no surprise.
Yeah. There's something special that they do at Biddy and Bo's that the workers do. And you can, when you get to book two in the Elite Guardian Savannah collection, you'll find out what it is.
Nice.
Oh. Dun, dun, dun. Teaser. Love it.
Teaser.
Well, that sounds great. That's going to be really neat, though, that it's continuing and moving to a different location. Are they, is it going to be similar, like a similar mystery kind of thread carrying through all three, or are they a little bit more standalone? What's your, or can that not be revealed?
It'll probably still be the standalone style. It'll still be the Lynette Eason style that readers have, you know, embraced. So I would say that they'll be more standalone. They'll just have some common characters maybe running through, popping in.
Okay. So
yeah, we're having a lot of fun having conversations. I think that's one of the things that I personally love about the way that Sunrise brought us all together to work with Lynette, is that, you know, she's definitely the anchor, but we're writing the stories and we are calling each other and talking to each other and developed a friendship, and we've traveled together multiple times, and we get to hang out and we're friends now through this. And so then we can just like message each other and ask questions and tease each other a little bit. And, you know, because I'm like, well, I'm writing the first book, so I hope you like your character to have blue hair or something like that. I'm like, don't test me, guys.
Or me, who's like, wait, what time period does my book start again? I'm lost in my own timeline here of where am I fitting this in? So I always forget things and have to ask.
Yeah.
Well, is that, like, I feel like that's such a special, unique thing with this experience with that Sunrise has done. It's like, I feel like it's really fostered writer community.
Absolutely.
You know, it just really seems like that's a trademark from everybody that I've talked to. That's such a huge part of it. And I love that.
Yeah. And it's more, like I said, it's more than just, you know, as writing books together, but being able to, you know, walk through life together, you know, call and vent about different things that are happening in our lives and praying for each other and things like that. And so, and just knowing each other and having little inside jokes and that, and then as well as our Sunrise family and, you know, the ongoing training that we get from that and the other lead authors who come and like pour into us and teach us. So, they didn't really set out to do that, but, you know, we've had Ronnie Kindig teaching us and Lisa Phillips has taught us. I think Terry Ferris taught us, some things as well. And so I really love that we have these trainings that we can go to and like glean information from, because, you know, for me, it's like, as many times as I've heard it, you know, taught to me, you know, goal, motivation, conflict, or something like that, then just hearing it again, it just reinforces it, or I learn something new, or it reminds me. And so I really appreciate like the very well-roundedness of Sunrise.
Well, and I will share too that Sunrise has become like a family for me. Last year I went through kind of a difficult circumstance. So I was, you know, promoting Defending Honor, but I was going through breast cancer treatment at the same time. And so many people sent gifts, just notes, and just, I felt so loved and so touched by just the Sunrise family, like just wrapping their arms around me, even though they might live in Alaska, or I know there's one person that lives like in Switzerland, I think, like people from all over the, you know, country, all over the world were just praying for me. And it was such a huge blessing. Like, I can't believe it. Like, it just really got me through the difficult times.
That was our pleasure, Kelly. That was our pleasure.
Thank you.
This is great. So where can listeners follow you? What social media platforms are you sharing to, if you are able to?
I know, like, social media starts to fall by the wayside a little bit because, except for me and Kelly sharing reels about dogs back and forth. But not that Sammy wouldn't want those, but she's definitely more of a cat person. So I send her my cat all the time. So, but you can find me, all my socials are on my website at kateangelo.com. And I'll say this for all three of us, we really would love it if listeners would subscribe to the newsletter, because that's where we really are doing a lot of our communication, and we send out the news there first. So, you know, the covers and the titles and things like that go to our newsletter people first. And then you can also learn more through the newsletter. You can learn more about joining a reader, author, romantic suspense Discord server channel. That's a lot of words. But it's a Discord server where people can actually go and talk and join launch teams all in one place with other Christian romantic suspense and suspense authors. So, you know, you want access to Lynette Eason or Sammy or Kelly or me, you can come in there, and others, you can come in there and hop around and really you know, get to know what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something. I feel like Discord is such an untapped thing. My brother has been trying to get me into it. I have like had it, but it's a little overwhelmed. Like, it's a whole other language for me to learn. So,
well, yeah. Come on over and hang out with us and I'll show you. And okay. I always tell everybody, it's like we're going back to the old AOL and ICQ chat room days. That's really what it is. That's all it is.
Kelly?
Oh, I can be found kellyunderwoodauthor.com, and Instagram, I'm Best in Suspense. And I think that's also my Facebook as well. But Facebook and Instagram, you know, I'm on there. And, you know, I also have a newsletter. So, you know, definitely please sign up.
Okay.
Yep. And mine's sammyaabrams.com. And you can find all my social media links on there, as well as all my books that have come out as well. And I have a free short story for the newsletter sign up.
Freebies. Hey. Well, thank you so much for this chat, ladies.
We had so much fun, Nicole. This was really fun.
This is a blast. And I know it seems, because we're recording early and stuff like that, but I hope you guys have a very Merry Christmas.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Until next time.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. I sure had fun talking with these very special ladies. I hope that this Christmas you have a wonderful time, and may your TBR be unending.